right? You want to feel like doctors and nurses are treating you, not just your somewhat of a number in this big healthcare system that's very mm-hmm. complex.
Hello and welcome to Inland Medical Center's Health Matters. It's a monthly podcast that gets real about wellness and we get to check in on ourselves. I'm Susie Larry Hall and I'll be your host. We're going to have some candid conversations on health topics that matter most to you and our loved ones and our family. And the goal is to empower, inspire, and make a difference. We'll be joined with expert insight and we're going to hear real stories from people just like you and me. And we're going to learn easy steps that we can take to start down the road to wellness. Let's get started. In this episode, we will share a little bit about Inland Medical Center and community benefit programming and how Health Matters came to be. Today's conversation is with Joe Page. Joe is the marketing and communications manager for Inland Medical Center. He is also a North State local. Joe was born and raised in Yuba City and still lives there with his wife, Jill, and his 20-month-old daughter, Novi. Thanks, Joe, for being here.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for having me.
All right, Joe, we're here. We did it.
We are here. It's been a long time coming.
I know. We did a lot of work to get here.
And I don't know how we found the time to do a lot of work to get us here. But we have great teams. That's what really helps us put us in a position to find ourselves here.
We also work for an organization that cares a lot about our community.
Yeah, we do.
Gives us the flexibility and the freedom we need to be able to engage with them in a way that's different and unique and meaningful. So I think that there's a lot to be said about that. But here we are. We're excited to start this podcast. And I think before we get going on explaining what our podcast is about, I'd love to share with our listeners about a little bit about Inland Medical Center.
Of course. So Inland Medical Center, we're a local nonprofit hospital up in Northern California, in Chico to be exact. When you say local nonprofit, what does that mean? So we are one of the few California hospitals that are still locally governed. So that means that our local volunteer board of directors help ensure that they protect that status by making sure all the revenue for the hospital is reinvested back into the community to improve the lives of the people of our community. So very exciting things going on at our hospital here. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that Enloe Medical Center was recently named in America's 250 best hospitals by HealthGrades. That's right, America's 250 best for patient safety and quality, which is very exciting, especially at a time during a pandemic where, you know, there's never been a more important time for you to feel comfortable with the quality and safety at the place you're seeking care. So it's very exciting that we're placed in America's 250 best hospitals.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And if you could break it down just a step further, what is that percentage wise?
Yeah, so mathematically, we are in the top 5% of the country for hospitals, which, and side note for California, you know how large California is, but we are one of three hospitals in Northern California to achieve this designation. So in the country, they assess over 4,500 hospitals. That's a lot. And in California, there's a lot of hospitals.
4,500 hospitals are assessed.
Over 4,500 are assessed, and we're in the top 5%.
That's amazing.
I mean, it is amazing because the metric of this is patient safety and quality. And so that is out of all the stuff that when people come in and see us for care, that they are getting well above what they would get at 95% of the other hospitals in the country. And there's a side fact to that I just learned, that if you go to the hospital for 19 different care reasons, you are 27.4% more likely to survive at an America's 250 best hospital than you would at a hospital that is not in that list.
Tell me that statistic again.
So the statistic is, if you go to the hospital, there's 19 different procedures or conditions that you would be hospitalized for. So for example, heart attack, sepsis, different things. But if you go to the hospital that's in America's 250 best because of their patient safety and quality ratings, you are 27.4% more likely to survive than you would if you went to a hospital that's not in that list. So it really is a huge deal that Enloe is one of America's 250 best hospitals.
It's incredible.
And we work there.
We do work there.
And that's an awesome feeling.
Yeah. And what I also really love is that, again, a lot of people don't know that we're a nonprofit, right? So I think that that's something that's also specifically unique to the hospital. And as you mentioned, when we say it's independent, it means it's not a part of a larger hospital network, which is also, I think, something we bring up a lot as,
definitely.
Again, yeah, when you go to your hospital, it's your hospital. And I think a lot of people in the community, if you don't work in the system, don't think much about it. You go to your hospital, it's your hospital, but how that hospital compares to the other hospitals in the nation, makes a big difference.
Yeah, it really does. I was, you know, just talking to my wife the other day, and I used to be in a larger medical system as a patient, and it's just such a different feel when you come to a local nonprofit hospital. Literally has that mom and pop shop feel where you actually have nurses, doctors, everyone remembers your name. You feel like you're getting that personalized care for you. Not that I didn't receive great care elsewhere, because, you know, the healthcare system is a great complex, doing great things for everybody, but definitely you get that personalized feel. And of course, when you're talking about your healthcare, that's what you want, right? You want to feel like doctors and nurses are treating you, not just your somewhat of a number in this big healthcare system that's very complex.
Absolutely. So I think what's also important is when we mention nonprofit, that's when we get into what we call community benefit programming. It's actually one of the main things I do here with Enloe is all not-for-profit healthcare organizations, they demonstrate their commitment to community service through organized and sustainable community benefit programming. And so again, what community benefit programming is, it consists of programs or services that do one or more of the following things. It's either going to improve access to health services for the residents of a defined region, so in this case, the North State. It'll enhance the overall health of our community. It'll advance the general knowledge of healthcare providers, including training for the next generation of healthcare professionals. So an example of that would be a lot of our partnerships with the nursing students at both Butte College and Chico State. And then we'd also relieve or reduce the burden of government health programs. So community benefit programming is really unique, and it's also a really exciting way to give back to our community. And that actually brings us to where we are today, and that is when we were deciding how we could continue doing our job to give back, and we were looking for new and creative ways to improve our commitment to health, led us here to a podcast, and here we are. So I have to be fair, the podcast technically wasn't mine and Joe's idea. We got it from one of our colleagues, Andrea Gleason. She's also a local here in the area. And Andrea is so resourceful, and she always has so many great ideas. And I remember when she brought it up to me, she's like, Susie, Joe, we got to do a podcast. And in that time, Joe and I were like, yeah, that sounds great. And then the more we thought about it, we're like, yeah, that's exactly what we should be doing. So we started turning our wheels. We're in the same building, and we're across the hall from each other. And so it was literally like, we would be like, one of us would pop in and be like, okay, I thought about it last night. How about we do this? And
how many ideas did we have before we got to where we are today? Yeah.
Well, because we wanted it to be really interesting, right? How do we talk about something that, even when you use the word health, it's something we're all familiar with, but what it means to everybody is so different.
Oh gosh, yes.
And the breadth, is that how you say it? Like the scope or the breadth of what it could mean has so many implications. It's like, how do we define it for ourselves in a way that's individualized, but simple to follow? And that's kind of where we found ourselves with this podcast. So when Joe came into my office, Joe, I want you to tell everyone about what happened. Well, we'll get there. I want you to tell us about what happened one of the times you came into my office to share a story.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, just like anyone in our office knows, I'm pretty much an open book, and it was an interesting year to say the least, and still living through the COVID-19 pandemic, which has found itself here another year later. But yeah, about halfway through last year, it was funny. You know, I'm in my mid-30s. I've always considered myself in good shape and good health. I don't think of it as great shape or great health, but never any concerns. And, you know, once you become a husband and a father and you have new added responsibilities, I finally decided to dust off the old to-do list and go get that annual physical that they tell you you should be getting once you reach a certain age. And yeah, I just went in, no big deal, thinking, okay, they're going to come back, clean bill of health. And they do this full panel workup. And I don't know if you've had it. I'm sure you have, but you know, they run all these tests and then it's all right, go home. We'll get back to you when we have your results. And of course, now that everything's streamlined and not social media, but digital application. So I'm getting alerted as my results are coming in, and every one of them is just like that, you know, there's green, yellow, and red, and you want to be in the green. You might want to be in the yellow, but you don't want to be in the red. And I'm just seeing green, 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 green all the way down. And I'm thinking, all right, everything's great. And I finally get my cholesterol in, and that was about as far red as it could be, and I'm half asleep when I get this, because, you know, I get that alert, wakes me up. I pull it up, look at it, I see green and go back to bed. But this one was red. And I remember I just got up and went and stood in the hallway because I didn't want to wake my wife or my daughter. And I was just staring at it, not knowing at all what it meant, thinking that what I perceived as high cholesterol was something that I can't possibly have. And so I just get on and I write a message to my doctor, and you know, he's pretty quick at getting back to me, but says he wants to schedule a phone visit to go over the results and, you know, really walk me through what it means. And, you know, for the most part, set my mind at ease. But it does turn out, no, it wasn't an error. I do have high cholesterol. My natural instinct was, okay, well, I'll just eat better. And I think I exercise, you know, this past year, I think everyone's kind of slipped a little bit to some extent with a majority of gyms being closed and having to reroute our plans. But I said, okay, well, I'll just find a way to exercise more. I'll make that commitment. And he just said, you know what? At your levels, you can definitely, we always encourage eat healthier, get more exercise. That's good for to improve your health. But he said it's at a point where genetics come into play. And, you know, this is going over my head because I'm like, wait a minute. I thought high cholesterol means you're just eating too bad. And he walked me down this, you know, very detailed path, just that high cholesterol, when your body and your liver digest, you know, the bad fats and all the things that you don't want to keep in your system, for, you know, everyone's different. Everyone's health is different. And genetically, some people just have that where it doesn't process it the way it should. So we said, of course, you know, eating healthier, doing, you know, healthier activities will help. But to put you back in that green area, which is where you want to be, it's a simple fix. You know, medicine's come a long way. It's great. You know, we take this medication and you're good to go. And my first instinct was, gosh, I gotta take a pill every day. I gotta remember this. But then he looked at me and said, in a point of, no, like, we're in a stage, day and age, where all you have to do is take a pill and that'll help. And of course, that doesn't mean here, you know, down this path of forgetting about the things you need to do to keep your health. But he said, this is going to help you out quite a bit. And I just remember, made me feel a lot better, talked to my wife about it, felt a lot better, came back to the office, kind of told everybody, oh my gosh, I have high cholesterol. Initially, it was a huge deal to me. And I mean, it still is, but just that whole experience where you realize, okay, now that I go and do this, you know, who knows what would have happened had I done it years ago. I don't know if I've had this high cholesterol my whole life. If I just had a few years, I've never needed to get it tested. You know, I never would have thought I needed to, but essentially I feel like I just rambled quite a bit, but that was my story. But that ties into, I remember we had that conversation and then we both just kind of started talking about it, and it was, well, this could be a podcast where we're talking about everyday situations, because everybody has that like aha moment at a different stage in their life. And
yeah, I actually just wrote that same note and I was like, it was so interesting because he's, you know, like Joe said, he's an open book. So he's sharing this story as we're, again, trying to brainstorm and figure out how, what can be interesting. And what we found is everyone started coming to us. So we're in the office and our colleagues in the office start kind of like hearing a story and like, oh man, or, and what it turned into was everyone had their own story. Or, oh yeah, this happened to so-and-so, or this happened in my family. And then what is also great is Joe noted two really important pieces of information, which was he noted his family history. And then, so it was interesting to have some people, what that meant to them. Like if something's in your family history, what does that mean? And then people talking about like, what's in my family history? So here we are at, we call it the Sierra House. We're sitting here talking and in that moment, we're both looking at each other like, this is it. This is how we're going to do it. We're going
grab
to
grab the tape recorder.
Yeah, we're going to bring in stories, because in every story, there's so much information. And when we have too much information, everyone knows my favorite saying is a confused mind does nothing. So taking these stories and identifying that like having high cholesterol is really common.
Yeah. But I had no idea how common it was. I mean, you have that kind of thought in your head on, okay, there's no way. Like I said, I thought there was no way in a million years. That's, if anything on my test came back, that I would have high cholesterol. But
yeah,
it's very common. You know, genetically does run in some of my family. And so, I mean, those were good things to know. And it just makes you realize like the things when they, you know, I don't even think about it, but I mean, I've gone to the doctors in years past and it's, you know, any family history, and it's like, gosh, I don't know. I never really felt like I'm fine. Why do I need to worry about it? Yeah. I mean, in a certain way, of course I would care if there was a condition in my family, but I never felt the need to really dive deep and look at that. And now years later, I wish I would have a long time ago, but we all find our own path. I got to where I am now and I know where I want to go moving forward.
Yeah, I think that that's pretty grand myself. And I think you should be proud of that. I'm proud of you. And I also love this idea too, that it goes back to the idea that I talked about the word health. Health is really common. The word cholesterol, really common. Mm-hmm. But again, what does it mean? and what are the implications on our health, if anything, right? I mean, we know there are some benefits to delaying the onset of high cholesterol or managing high cholesterol, right? And those are things we can get into in this podcast. We'll figure that out and we'll dive deep into these conversations and explain what that means. So we're going to bring in stories like you.
And then, hopefully better than mine.
No, your story is great. I thought it was amazing. And I think that you're not alone. That's the other thing, is that our hope is that when people hear these stories, they recognize that they're not alone in it either. And every story with just that minor tweak is important, and it means something to you. And again, and then we'll bring our health expert in. I'm not a cholesterol health expert, so I'm sorry, I can't provide that for us today. But in our future podcast, what we hope to do is take these stories and then accompany them with our in-law experts to help really explain what is this person going through and what does that mean for their health. And I think the final piece of this would be then, and now what can we do about it? In my previous work, I was in education for a long, long time, a lot of community education. And what I found is that a lot of people know or are familiar, but what is not always as easy is how to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something we are also hoping to bring out in this podcast, is not just the story and the expertise about what this person's experiencing, but what are some next steps? What are some things that worked for you? So for you, how have you managed your cholesterol? What's the one thing you're doing for yourself to feel like your health matters?
I mean, I would say it's a collection of things, because you make that list up front. Like, I'm cutting out some of my favorite foods that I splurge on the weekend or something. And it doesn't have to be this drastic step, right? It just comes into, okay, so do I need to eat red meat as often as I do? Probably not. I love it, but it's not something I have to give up. I can still keep it in my life. I just need to do it more responsibly. I'm always say I don't drink soda, but I drink Dr. Pepper, because it's its own category to me. But I limit that. You know, it's all the things that we all know growing up, you know, drink more water, drink less sugary drinks, eat healthier foods. And I really do find myself that it is easier when you're not trying to make this huge drastic switch. Because right when it happened, I was like making this ridiculous plan on how I'm going to live my life moving forward. And it's like, it's not what I need to do. To paraphrase what my doctor told me, he said, you know, you can do that, but the way your body digests or processes the fats and everything that you intake, he said, you're still going to have high cholesterol. Of course, you can lower it by doing some healthier things. But to get into that green, here's an added thing, which is medication, which is great. But you still, like I said, you don't want to rely on this magic little medication pill that I take daily and disregard everything else that I want. Because like I said, this makes my health matter, knowing that that's something I have and that I can do something about it. Because you start to think, you know, when my health started mattering to me, it's all the things, you know, spending time with my wife, being there for my daughter. And as she gets older, I want to coach, I want to do all these things. And I just want to be present in that moment. And then if there's anything I can contribute that helps me control that, that's what I want to do. That's how my health matters, at least.
Love it. I'm so glad. So, and you know, one of the things that I thought was really profound just now is that idea is like, I think you tried a lot of things. And you're probably going to keep trying things.
Yeah. I mean, it's a process. I mean, life is a process, right?
But it can also be so exhausting to try lots of new things.
It does. And I noticed early on too, you know, I'd go to the organic market and buy everything I could. And you have these grand plans, and it's really, you don't have to make such a drastic switch, incorporate it into your routine, but it doesn't have to take over. I love pizza, but I limit the amount. You know, it's just kind of finding your middle ground. And yeah, it's something where I can still have it, enjoy it, because I'm a foodie. I love food, but also I love healthy food. Like, once you find ways to cook healthy food, it's actually really, like, I would put that above some of the foods that I used to love more. And that's, you know, just part of the process. It's never ending. Yeah.
Do you think it's part of getting more mature in age too? What do you think? Maybe.
I mean, probably.
I'm slightly older than Joe, just for the record.
So my palate's changed. You know, my wife and I, we love to cook, especially, you know, this past year during COVID, that's been something that really is, you know, we've always loved to cook, but having restaurants be closed down for the most part, you know, we still do our takeout once in a while. We want to support our local businesses and some of the smaller restaurants that we love in our town, but we've just had fun cooking together. Having a daughter now at the age where she wants to stand on a stool and feel like she's helping, it's, you know, we've kind of tried to create that atmosphere. But cooking's an experience in itself when you're doing it as something fun with your family and, you know, trying to be healthy. And it's just one of those things that it's definitely a long process. Like I said, it'll be something I just do the rest of my life. Cause I'm now that I had my aha moment and my health matters, that's something I'm going to just carry with me as I move forward through life. And it'll always be, it doesn't have to be the focus of everything I do, but just something I'm mindful of.
Well, Joe, that's it. That's all I got for us today. So I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story and being on this journey with me as we create a podcast that hopefully is successful and interesting and gives people the tools that they need to be a healthier them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just to touch on your point earlier is everybody is different and everybody's health is different. And so really, I think the big takeaway from this is that we're going to do everything we can to reach as many people as we can, because everyone has their own story. And so it'll be really amazing to see the diverse people that come on the show and have their story, and to have our health experts from Enlo kind of be able to walk us through behind the scenes and what that really means. Your question was, so what does that mean and where do I go from here? I mean, finding those things are so important. And I think that a lot of people get overwhelmed by the healthcare system because, you know, anytime you Google anything, it's scary what you can find if you Google a symptom, because there's just so much information. So having our experts on to really help us and hearing the stories from the people firsthand, I think is really going to connect with all of you listening. And we're really excited to bring this platform to you guys.
Awesome. All right. Well, here we go. So join us next month as our first guest hits close to home for me. We'll be joined by my loving husband, Ryan Hall, who will share with us his journey of being diagnosed with pre-diabetes. He'll also be joined with health expert Buck August, Enlo's registered dietitian and diabetes educator, as he walks us through what Ryan's diagnosis means and where he goes from here. So that's it, folks. So thanks so much for listening and getting real with us on this podcast today. We hope today's conversation was helpful and inspiring and gave you a good idea of what you can expect when you tune in with us next month. If you'd like what you've heard, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe, and be sure to share. Leave us a comment too. For more information on today's topic, visit Enlo.org/podcast. And remember, your health matters.